This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and I am still fighting this annoying cold, as you can probably hear. I actually feel a lot better than I sound, but this cold is just attacking my vocal cords, which fortunately I don't really need for my job, so it's no big deal. Today on the show, I'm taking your cheese-related calls. So here's the first one.
Hey, this is Adam from L.A.
This is Jonathan from L.A.
And I wrote into The Sporkful because my friend Jonathan and I have a long-standing debate for about 6 years about a world in which there was only one type of cheese left, which is horrifying. And to me, the answer is, of course, mozzarella is the one type of cheese that you would want. And we started this debate at a party without realizing, you know, our differences. And we were talking about it for so long that we looked around eventually and realized that everybody else had walked away. And Jonathan and I, as I said, 6 years. So we've sort of chewed through this. The only thing that we really agree on is when anybody else has a different type of cheese, like brie or taleggio, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but
that's
a
terrible
idea. I'll
let
Jonathan explain his cheddar stance, and then I'll explain my mozzarella stance.
Okay, so in this horrific dystopian future in which cheese is like Highlander, there can be only one.
Right.
Jonathan, you believe that if there can be only one cheese, it should be cheddar.
Yes.
Why?
Absolutely. Quite simply, it has more flavor than mozzarella. It comes down to flavor. And if you've only got one cheese left to have, you know, as Bobby Flay says, I'm all about big, bold flavors. And so cheddar's the cheese that I go with.
You know what Bobby Flay didn't say and wouldn't say? Enjoy this cheddar pizza. And that, to me, is what it comes down to. With mozzarella, you have a lifetime of pizza. You have a lifetime of Italian food. You can have a caprese salad if you're going to be a little bit healthier that day. Mexican food with the right seasonings can still be passable with mozzarella. Cheddar just doesn't work with everything. It's like Hugh Grant. It does one thing really well, but if you don't want that one thing, it's not going to help you.
Jonathan, response?
Okay. This is always a funny conundrum that he brings up, because this is what I refer to as his pizza argument or his lasagna argument. So, and while I admit, yeah, of course, generally speaking, mozzarella is the main topping on a pizza. There is something at most pizza places that when you go down and you sit down and you eat your slice of pizza, there's something else on the table there. Most places have this, and usually one of those things is Parmesan. Now, why would there be an overly salty cheese on the table of a pizza parlor? And that's because of the lack of flavor there is in mozzarella. So it's quite common to see people adding extra flavor to something that has mozzarella.
So Jonathan actually makes my point for me. It's that mozzarella can take on flavor. Cheddar is what it is and always will be, which is fine if that's exactly what you want. But keep in mind, this is a world without any other type of cheese. And is that really the one flavor you want dominating everything else? It's a horrifying world to me.
And yet mozzarella is the only cheese that needs another cheese to help it.
Can you tell me this is a six-year-long debate?
At least you guys don't take it personally. all right, I got some questions here.
Okay, sure.
First off, Jonathan, when you say cheddar, are you talking like is it assumed in this dystopian future that means all types of cheddar, or is it only one level of sharpness, one level of agedness?
Great question. I think if you say cheddar, you have a very wide range.
And similarly with mozzarella, that includes your baby mozzarellas, your buffalo mozzarellas, your burratas, your smoked mozzarellas.
Okay, and let me intervene here, okay, you guys, because I think that you are dancing around the fundamental question without addressing it. Really what you're debating, or where you truly disagree, is not actually which cheese is best. Really where you disagree is in the purpose that you want cheese to serve in this dystopian future. So we have Adam saying, look, it's not going to be perfect, but mozzarella can fill the cheese gap in a lot of different places. You can season it up. It can It can plug the hole, even if it's not always perfect, even if it's a little mild in flavor. Jonathan, what you're saying is that's not what you would want in this dystopian future. You have a wholly different approach. You want the flavor. And you'd rather have one strong flavored cheese over and over again, even at the risk of tiring of it and of not being able to use it as often, than to have milder flavored cheese all the time.
I don't know if I would agree with the point that you made about it not being able to be used as often.
I'm sorry, Jonathan. It's tough to argue Adam's basic point that mozzarella is more of an all-purpose cheese. Because it's milder in flavor, it is milder in flavor than cheddar, and therefore it's more adaptable, and it's less likely to clash. You know, that's the funny thing here, is that Adam says that the mildness of mozzarella is its strength in this future, and
right.
Jonathan, you say that the mildness of mozzarella is its weakness, and that the strong flavors of cheddar is its strength. And so you don't disagree on the pros and cons of these two cheeses. You disagree on what you want cheese to do in a dystopian future in which there's only one.
Yeah, I could agree with that, yeah.
I think that's fair.
Okay, this is what we call progress. After 6 years, there is progress here, okay? So now let's talk about the real issue.
I feel like in a lab somewhere, somebody has the right amount of spices and the right cooking technique, I think you could make a mozzarella that tastes like cheddar. If you really needed it, I don't think you can make a cheddar that tastes like anything else.
Why would you want to?
The problem is that it's harder to find really good fresh mozzarella than it is to find good cheddar. You got to go to like some kind of old world market where there's an old Italian man who speaks no English in the back, like standing over a cauldron with a giant wooden spoon. And he comes out of the, and he hobbles out of the back and he dumps the cauldron into the vat of mozzarella balls and they're still warm. And they've been fined by the Board of Health numerous times because they don't refrigerate the cheese before selling it, because that's what makes it more delicious.
See, and I can imagine in this dystopian future, those guys are just all over the place. That feels right to me. If you're going to be dystopian, I want a lot of guys, you know, in this little room with a cauldron and nothing else, just dealing mozzarella. That to me feels right.
All right. Well, I have to say, for my personal taste, I like mozzarella better than cheddar every day of the week. I'm not a big cheddar fan. I personally agree with you, Adam, that mozzarella is more flexible. You can use it more different ways. You can season it up. I could see myself eating mozzarella cheese multiple times a week for a long time without getting tired of it. I can't imagine that being the case with cheddar cheese for me personally.
Shame.
But I do think that to some extent, this argument comes down to a matter of taste. And as the wise men have said for many years, and as we say here on the Sporkful, de gustibus non est disputandum. In matters of taste, there can be no dispute. So I hope that you two will put down your cheese knives and let there be peace between you and accept each other for your differences.
I think we can do that.
I think that's fair.
All right, Adam and Jonathan in L.A., we'll put this question up on our website as well, because I want to hear from more of you out there. We'll put up a poll at sporkful.com and ask people what cheese they would like in a dystopian one cheese future. Thanks so much for your call, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Coming up, Erica in Illinois wants to know how much you can add to a grilled cheese before it ceases to be a grilled cheese. Stick around.
Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Before we get back to the phones, I wanted to make sure that you guys didn't miss our recent show about food infused with marijuana. In it, Radiolab's Jad Abumrad and I have way too much edible weed and things go off the rails.
The room was spinning. I couldn't quite coordinate my movements. Get into the cab. Every time I blinked, I literally would forget where I was. Like, I didn't remember if I was in Manhattan or if I was in Brooklyn. What am I doing in this cab? The continuity that is the sort of the thread of life was gone. And it stayed gone for like a whole day and a half.
After that, I talked to experts about what went wrong, and we take a hard look at the future of edibles. That show is available now wherever you got this one. It's called Beyond Pot Brownies. Now, back to the phones.
Hi, this is Erica Stone. I'm calling from Highland Park, Illinois.
Okay, Erica, what can I do for you?
So I'm curious at what point a grilled cheese becomes a melt, or like what the distinction is between the two of them. Because you can have a grilled cheese with bacon, you know, that has some meat on it. But I'm wondering, like, you know, because there are all these grilled cheese restaurants and they'll have a bunch of stuff on it, but still call it a grilled cheese. And I keep looking at these and thinking, well, that sounds like a melt to me. So I wanted to know, what you thought about that whole business.
It's a great question. And actually, it's funny because in the very first ever episode of The Sporkful, which is now no longer publicly available, it's been put into deep freeze, archived.
Uh-huh.
But episode one was about grilled cheese, and I addressed this exact issue. At what point does it stop being a grilled cheese? Do you have an opinion on this, Erica? Where do you see as the dividing line?
I think, like, as I've discussed this with friends, it sounds like once you add cold cuts onto it, then it becomes a melt.
So you're saying when you add meat, it becomes a sandwich. It becomes some other kind of sandwich.
Not necessarily, because if you put bacon on a grilled cheese, that's still a grilled cheese.
What about bacon and tomato?
Yeah, I think that's still a grilled cheese. Those are, like, canonical grilled cheese toppings. But like when you start adding on turkey or ham or, you know, burger, you know, then it becomes the melt. I think if you also have more than two toppings, maybe.
If I want to get Socratic about this and start questioning your underlying assumptions, you're saying bacon is okay, but ham is not. Ham, a slice of ham is not any thicker, typically, than a slice of bacon. It comes from the same animal.
Mm-hmm.
So why should a slice of ham in a grilled cheese turn it into something else but not a slice of bacon?
Yeah, I don't know. It just, you know, I guess it's more of a feeling than, you know, a cognitive thing.
Right.
Because you have a name for the ham. It's a ham and cheese. Or, I mean, you have a turkey melt. But, you know, when you are at a diner, you know, it's a grilled cheese with bacon and tomato.
Because I'm inclined to agree with you, but we need to think this through, Erica. We can't just be issuing verdicts willy-nilly.
Sure.
I want to work through an intellectual.
Yeah.
A defensible position. I think that maybe the difference is that bacon is more often an accompaniment.
Mm.
Now, it's a powerful accompaniment, full of flavor, full of porky, fatty goodness, but it's not often the featured attraction. Even in a BLT, I know that it's the meat, but I would argue that a BLT is more like about a cohesive whole.
That's a good point. It is an ensemble sandwich.
You know, but like, how often are you really going to pile bacon on a sandwich and make that the sandwich? It's usually more that the bacon is an accompaniment, you know, and so that's why I feel like it's different. Even though it might not be different in quantity from a slice of ham or turkey, it's different in the purpose that it serves.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other sandwiches. Or like, how much do you need to add to a grilled cheese before it's not a grilled cheese anymore?
What if you were to add tomato and eggplant? Is that still a grilled cheese?
I think so.
What about tomato and roasted red pepper and eggplant and basil?
Yeah, now that's starting to sound like a vegetable sandwich with cheese.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you on the cap also, the cap of two. You cannot add more than two things. You can have bread, cheese, and up to two things inside. And they have to be accompaniments, not featured attractions.
So what about something, you know, we've talked about ham, we've talked about bacon, like prosciutto.
Well, that's a great question.
Because it's still salty pork, but would you call that a grilled cheese if it had, right, if it's, you know, cheese, prosciutto, tomato?
I guess what I would say is it's something that, like, if I'm going to eat prosciutto, I want to taste the prosciutto. You know, like prosciutto is something that I'm like, ooh, prosciutto, yummy. I get excited about it. And I believe that while it can be used as an accompaniment, and I wouldn't say that it's wrong, I feel like more often it should be the star.
Okay.
What do you think?
So I guess now I'm coming to your side of it where it's all about the function of the other ingredients. But yeah, no, I think I'm satisfied by this answer.
Like great Supreme Court justices, Erica, you and I sometimes have to make the tough calls.
That it's a grilled cheese when I see it.
Yeah, that's right. We can't always define it, but you know it when you see it.
I love it.
All right, thanks, Erica. Appreciate the call.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Well, this was a lot of fun. I always love taking your calls. And in fact, we're going to be doing a lot more call-in shows coming up here on The Sporkful. And so I really want to hear from you. Do you have a food debate or argument that you'd like me to settle? Do you have an issue of nomenclature or definition that you want me to try to adjudicate? Is there a technique or a new way of eating that you think is an innovation that the rest of the Sporkful community needs to hear about? If so, I want to hear from you. Drop me a line, dan@sporkful.com. Next week on The Sporkful, I am so excited. Comedian Jim Gaffigan will be here. He is the author of Dad is Fat and Food, A Love Story. You may know Jim Gaffigan from his now famous Hot Pockets routine. He covers a ton of food in his act, all different foods way beyond Hot Pockets. Very excited to have him on the show next week. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sanny and me. We get help from Tim Ruggieri. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
This is Sybil Spaulding, and I am calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Eat more, eat better. Don't forget to eat more better.